And we're coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. Just right next door to Area 51 at 1233 American Legion Drive, Festus, Missouri. This is Pastor Mike, and I am online, and I am live with you today. And my bones ache like crazy today. They hurt me yesterday so bad. I'm trying to write this script for the Watchman broadcast, and I'm just going, oh, I hurt. Oh, and I've been doing pretty good today up until about 30, 45 minutes ago. I don't know if it's the weather. I don't know what it is. But just glad to be alive. We have no right to complain whatsoever when everything that we get is better than hell. And I am thankful to be alive and thankful to be a Christian, thankful to be saved today, and good to be with you today. I have pieces of paper that I'm going to read to you today, and I have got, let me do this. I'm going to do some subliminal advertising for you. Here we go. We're going to do this very quickly. Ooh, subliminal advertising. I was trying to flash you Illuminati signals. I hope you caught it. I sent a tweet out a little while ago, and what we're going to talk about today is, do you think that TV stations and TV companies and networks are actively trying to promote, like, the agenda and the religion of the New World Order? Do you really think that? Oh, come on now. I do. I absolutely think so. And I've had, I don't know how many emails people sending me, the reference to this new TV show on, I think it's on ABC, called 666 Park Avenue. And it just doesn't take a genius to go, 666, that's of the devil. Why are they talking about this? And that's out there. That's like AC/DC coming out and singing, I'm on the highway to hell. Okay, you know, I actually heard an interview that a couple of the singers, when they were in the St. Louis area, they were being interviewed by KC95, Real Rock Radio. They were being interviewed when they came to this back in the 80s. And they were talking about backward masking, and he said, we don't put backward messages in our songs. We want to sing about the devil, we sing about the devil. And that's what they did. One of which, the band members have actually met him personally, or will soon. One of the band members is in hell now. But anyway, there is the overt actions of the media, the music, Highway to Hell, things like that. But then you get into, in fact, let me do the contrast here. Here we have the Highway to Hell, AC/DC. I'm on my highway to hell. There was another song they sang. I got the devil in my blood telling me what to do, and I'm all ears, going to be a rock and roll singer. So that's like overt. They sang about the devil. They sang about the hell. They were about as subtle as Ozzy Osbourne is. But then you have another British group, Led Zeppelin, singing Stairway to Heaven. Oh, Stairway to Heaven. Oh, I love Stairway to Heaven. And you actually listen to the words of that song and you're going, was you on LSD when you wrote this? Because I don't know what in the world you're talking about. And when you actually know a little bit about the occult and symbolism and things like that, you listen to Highway to Hell and you're going, or it's Stairway to Heaven. And you're going, oh, that's what that's about. Hotel California actually had backward masking in it. You know how to do a Pastor Mike online about this. Hotel California actually had backward masking in it, or some say. I've listened to it. I think it's there. And then you have what is the Hotel California all about? And it's subtle. It's sort of luring you in to what's going on. And there are some things that are luring people in that are on telly right now that we're going to talk about. Let's deal with some news items today. And I am receiving your emails faster than I can talk today. And I appreciate everybody writing in. And we'll try to get to those ASAP. This is from The Independent. Scientists create genetically modified cow to cut milk allergies in children. You see, It's just all about how we can help you. We're going to alter your DNA. That's in a TV show, by the way. Scientists have created a genetically modified cow that produces milk with low levels of a protein known to cause allergic reactions in a significant proportion of children. The researchers believed it could one day lead to the safe, hypoallergenic milk from herds of genetically modified, they're not really going to be cows, kind of cows. The calf had been cloned with, and you know what's interesting to me? As I'm reading this, my mind is flipping Bible pages. I'm going, and I'm thinking of a cow. How was a cow used in the scripture? What was the significance of the cow? The golden calf. Test on the cow's milk. Well, let me back up. The calf had been cloned with a genetically engineered with an extra piece of genetic material that switched off its natural gene for producing a milk protein called beta-lactoglobulin. In other words, they don't want any globulins of lacto in the milk, which is not present in human milk and causes allergies in some young children. This is exactly why you don't see most children sitting underneath nursing cows. It's because they're allergic. Tests on the cow's milk showed that it contained less than 2% of normal levels of beta-lactoglobulin. It was far richer than usual in other kinds of milk proteins, such as the caseins used in cheese making. The researchers also believe the GM cow's milk will also contain higher concentrations of calcium than ordinary milk and actually will contain a much less considerable amount of cow. You see, when you alter, when you change the DNA, it's not really a cow anymore. It's like something else, but it's not really a cow. And you and I both know this is leading to transhumanism. Missed that one. Leading to transhumanism. They're going to alter. It's all for mankind's benefit, people. Calm down. We know you watched Frankenstein, but that's not what we're doing. You have to trust us. Here is my friend Ross Perot, who, and did you ever wonder what happened to him? Ross Perot, you remember back in the 1990s, was it 96 or 90? No, it was 92. 1992 presidential election. Here is George H.W. And here is Bill Clinton running for president. And all of a sudden, this little short guy named Ross Perot comes in there. And, like, everybody likes Ross Perot. He's not a politician. And he's kind of talking like, well, we got a big problem here in this country. And everybody's listening to Ross Perot. And in the polls, he's like jumping up there. And people are, for the first time in their life, considering, you know, maybe this Democratic-Republican thing is for the dogs. Maybe I shouldn't vote either way. And they were going to vote for Ross Perot. And all of a sudden, Ross Perot comes out. He's already picked a running mate. He comes out and he goes, I've decided not to run for president in the United States. And we're going, what in the world happened? And he's out for like 3 months. Then he comes back in. Well, you know, I think I will run for president of the United States. But by then, he had already lost all of his momentum. And you all know, I mean, that's what it takes. And I always wondered if maybe somebody had, like, dirty pictures of him or had a picture of his, one of his children in gun barrel sights or something like that. It was just too weird because this guy was going to be the president. Anyway, Ross Perot, the billionaire who shook up the 1992 presidential campaign, has largely remained silent since his emergence on the nation's political stage nearly two decades ago, and he emerges from the shadows in part to drum up interest in his forthcoming autobiography. He's remaining silent about one more thing, the current top candidates running for office. Pressed by the USA Today's Richard Wolff, who was dressed up as a sheep, to endorse candidate. Perot declined, despite the fact that, quote, members of his family have donated almost exclusively to Republicans in recent years. Perot was an equal opportunity critic, unimpressed with both President Barack Hussein and Mitt Romney when it comes to addressing the nation's red ink. We're on the edge of a cliff, and we've got to start fixing it now. Otherwise, we're leaving a disaster to our children and our grandchildren's future, he said. Wolf spoke with Perot as part of an interview for C-SPAN, where additional clips have been posted, blah, 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 blah. In it, Perot talks about his fear of the United States being taken over. Oh, that's not just a fear. That's going to happen. If we are that weak, just think of who wants to come here first and take us over. And the last thing I ever want to see is this country and our country taken over because we're so financially weak, we can't do anything, and we're moving in that direction. We could even lose our country if we don't get this fixed and straightened out. And nobody that's running really talks about it, even about what we have to do and why we have to do it. They would prefer not to have it discussed. That was my very, very best Ross Perot. How many have I missed so far? Two. My very best Ross Perot interpretation. Let's see. I'm saving this. I'm going to put this over here for now. Here's a good one. This is from the stuff.co.nz. It's from New Zealand. Link with witchcraft closes therapy clinic. I don't know if I still have that picture somewhere that Michelle sent me from down in Houston. She took of a hospital, and they were advertising, hey, we got Kundalini. You know, maybe that's what I need to do. For those of us who deal with daily pain issues, and I'm not talking about your married kind of pain. Daily pain issues. Maybe we should try Kundalini, because that's what they were promoting. And it's all over. Marilyn, where is my beard? Is. Oh, who? I'm glad I looked over this way. I get some of the neatest stuff sent to me. And somebody felt sorry for me, because I had to eat Vegemite. I got sent, these are little Canadian maple leaf candies, eh? This is real maple syrup, eh? It's come from right from the tree, eh? And it's just maple syrup sugar that's been crystallized into this. And these things are good, by the way. And then I have someone who really felt sorry for me from Australia. And they sent me Tim Tams. And boy, wouldn't you like to. And I, you can tell I've already been into the Tim Tams. And I can tell you that I would never put this on this. In fact, I told them I would do this. Now, they sent instructions. They said that you have to bite this end off like that. And you got to bite this end off like that. And then you stick it down in milk and you suck on it. Suck the milk through there. And I'm going, wow, that looks pretty cool. What's wrong with just eating them? Anyway, appreciate you guys watching out for my health. And Pastor Mike, you still on your diet? Yeah. Link with witchcraft closes therapy clinic. A natural therapy clinic at Whanganui. Whanganui. Whanganui Hospital. Offering massage and traditional Maori healing has been shelved after a doctor linked it to witchcraft and wizardry. The clinic also offered Christian prayer and energy healing, including Reiki and color therapy, to staff for health and well-being. The hospital agreed to offer the therapies as a 3-month trial But it was stopped early on September 19th because of a doctor's comments. After we decided to have the pilot for staff, there was some negative publicity generated by a couple of our board members. Oh, wait a minute. I have to back up. After we decided to have the pilot for staff, there was some negative publicity generated by a couple of our board members, Chief Executive Julie Patterson said. I wasn't overly concerned about it. Some weeks later, one of the senior doctors made a comment publicly in the local newspaper, a positive comment, not negative comment about the trial, but linked it with witchcraft and wizardry. That, Mrs. Patterson said, was confusing for the public, and the clinic was closed. It's not that she agreed with it. It's not that she said, you mean this is witchcraft? Why, we can't be practiced. It's not that she agreed with it. She didn't like the publicity that came. Somebody said, this is witchcraft, and the people are calling the telly in New Zealand? I don't know. Anyway, they're calling the phone, calling the hospital, and they're going, why are you guys practicing witchcraft here? And so it was bad publicity, not the fact that she didn't like what was going on. And I'm telling you, anytime you turn the light on, that's when the cockroaches go running. Let's see here. We have, what else do we have? I have articles about, let's see here. I tried printing these out thinking it would be less confusing, and I think it's more confusing now. Here is an article from the Huffington Post, Canada. Says, why are the Freemasons collecting our children's DNA? Did I have a clip of that? I wonder what happened to it. I thought I had a picture. The Freemasons had this thing called, and this is interesting. It's called the CHIP program. That's what it's called. Conspiracy theorists need theorize no more. And pages from a fiction novel brought to life, the strangest twists in popular folklore have been winding through our government corridors. In this case, I wouldn't blame you for being tempted to run it by Snopes. Fabled as a secret society, Freemasons see themselves as an esoteric fraternity, an ancient brotherhood of initiates who are voted into membership for the purpose of sharing enlightenment through the use of exclusive teachings. Can I do something? I've been researching this week, writing scripts for Watchmen broadcasts for your enjoyment. And I have had a book, and it's written by, and if you have any familiarity with Freemasonry, you might recognize this. Let me get to where I can see it here. Oh, you know what? Hang on. There we go. That's what we didn't do. All right. Anyway, this is Freemasonry, Its Hidden Meaning. George Steinmetz, and let's see here, McCoy Publishing and Masonic Supply Company, Richmond, Virginia. Now, this was not written by Alex Jones. It was not written by David Icke. It was not even written by Mike Hoggard. It was written by a Mason. This is one of their manuals. Somebody sent me this a couple years ago. I also have a good friend of mine gave me Mackey's revised encyclopedia of Freemasonry. See that symbol there? I'm going to be dealing with that. I have a new video coming up called The Square and the Compass. And then I have, and I've had several people send me this. This is a Masonic Bible. And it's a King James Bible. And so there's probably people out there saying, see, King James was a Mason. They put Masonic secrets in the Bible. You can't trust the King James Bible. And I will tell you that I don't care what street corner it comes from. I don't care what side of the avenue people shout it from. When everybody who was on... Boy, I need to think about if I can say this or not. Yeah, I think I can. Everybody that is on the side of the devil, whether they realize it or not, is going to try to tell you that the King James Bible is not trustworthy. It's not reliable. It's a big pile of garbage. I had a talk with Pastor John Uter this morning. He called me this morning. We chit-chatted a while. And he said he was sitting in a church, and he said that just comes out of the Sunday school teacher's mouth. That Bible's got untold, the King James, untold thousands of mistakes in it. You can't trust that book for nothing. And he said the funny thing was, he was teaching a Sunday school lesson on the truth of God, which was just, he said, it just amazes me. I have another two pastors from Arkansas that are in a battle right now in the denomination they're in the local district group that they're in. They're dealing with, they have been traditionally King James, but now they're changing the rules. Now they're saying we can use these other Bibles, and they're going, you know what? We're going to stand against it. Pastor Mike, will you help us out? And I'm going, you bet I will. I'm going to stand here in the backgrounds in my top secret broadcasting bunker where nobody can get to me, and I'm going to tell you what to say. These guys already, some of these guys believe the Bible longer than me. And they're good friends of mine. I appreciate them. But anyway, we have the Masonic King James Bible, and I got two of them actually. Was looking at the other one a while ago, and it's got all kinds of. Look at what it says here: the Holy Bible, the Great Light in Masonry. Not true. Not true. And then there's all kinds of stuff in here for Masons to read and all kinds of goodies. So, dealing with the Mason, let me read this article again. Fabled as a secret society, Freemasons see themselves as an esoteric fraternity, an ancient brotherhood of initiates who are voted into membership for the purpose of sharing enlightenment through the use of exclusive teachings. Let me read you a little blurb from this book called Freemasonry, Its Hidden Meaning, written by a Mason for Masons. This is their book. So here's what he says. In its ritualism and monitorial lessons, Masonry teaches nothing in morals, in science, in religion, or in any other department of human knowledge or interest not taught elsewhere in current forms of thought or by the sages of the past. In these directions, it has no secrets of any kind. It is in the ancient symbols, like those. It is in the ancient symbols of Freemasonry that its real secrets lie concealed. And these, listen to this now, these are as densely veiled to the Mason as to any other. You know what he just said? You don't even know what they mean. You're a Mason. Listen to this. Unless there's densely veiled to the Mason as to any other, unless he has studied the science of symbolism in general and Masonic symbols in particular. The most profound secrets of Masonry are not revealed in the lodge at all. They belong only to the few. I'll let you look at it. That's exactly what it says. The most profound secrets of Masonry are not revealed in the lodge at all. They belong only to the few. So, the square and compass, what does it mean? Well, it means that you're to square your actions with all mankind and circumscribe your principles with something. I actually have the quote of what they say it means. And then they'll tell you that's not really what it means. We're not telling you the truth. What does it mean? We're not going to tell you. Thank God I have a Bible. Anyway, back to the chip program. The article goes on, they are not a religious group, and yet elevated status can be obtained through an invitation to the various esteemed rites in the legendary Knights Templar. That full proper title is the United Religious, Military, and Masonic Orders of the Temple and of St. John of Jerusalem, Palestine, Rhodes, and Malta. It is argued they find their roots in an historical Christian militia, which once upon a time nearly bankrupted the Vatican. Despite an effort to distance themselves from politics and religion in modern times, Scandinavian branches to this day will only permit entry of few of fellow Christian worshipers. Women remain forbidden, although there is good news for slaves and the disabled who may have overcome discrimination after 1,000 years of human rights progression. On the Grand Lodge of Canada website, they continue to affirm this elusive aura with statements like the following. Freemasonry is a fraternal association of men of good and high ideals, but it is not a public association. Private is a more appropriate description than secret, and as with many organizations, certain information is reserved for members only. So why then is an exclusive, this is the article now, so why then is an exclusive group collecting our children's DNA? With support of police and the government across the USA and Canada, eh? You know them as Masonichip, or perhaps you've been led to believe it was a state and provincial endeavor intended to protect your little ones. They set up fairs, forge partnerships with law enforcement, and even strive to distribute their services through North America public school systems. In Massachusetts, this Freemason program was promoted by CBS News from the steps of the official state house and included their police dog, coincidentally named Mason. Reporters only failed to mention the private nod to those promoting him, or that government had little to do with it. What is Masonichip, you ask? Well, it's thin slices of fried potato. No, it's not. It begins on the surface as a child identification program. Child identification program. Chip. In case your loved ones are ever to be horrendously abducted, is there another kind of abduction, I would ask? Parents are familiar with at-home kits to record their kids' vital information for protection against the greatest of all fears to be inflicted on a family. Normally, height, weight, hair, and eye color are recorded along with a set of fingerprints and hopefully a current photograph. It's just the good folks at your local Masonic Lodge saw fit to take things further. With advances in technology, they began to offer digital fingerprints, digital imaging, digital video, dental impressions, and DNA mouth swabs. This data processing is managed by their proprietary software. You know what that means? That means the Masons actually wrote their own software to analyze DNA. This data processing is managed by their proprietary software that's designed to be compatible with local and national law enforcement. This is, after all, a campaign created by police in the Brotherhood, regardless of its private funding. A great distinction is made to ensure governments are nothing more than their supporters. Freemasons assert ownership of this project as an integral part of their mission statement. We, the Freemasons, are the sole sponsor of the Masonic Safety Identification Initiatives as developed in our various Masonic Grand Lodge jurisdictions. As such, we schedule the events and coordinate the equipment, materials, and volunteers necessary to conduct events. All groups and individuals are welcome to work alongside, but they are not referred as sponsors, but listed and involved as supporters, supporting partners, corporate partners, in collaboration with or in cooperation with. They claim their services are superior to what a parent could accomplish at home by recording the children's data personally and providing their own healthcare professionals collect their DNA samples. These are either hired hands who answer to the Freemasons or members of the fraternity whose history and credentials are protected by the organization. And of course, the article goes on and on and on, but you ask the question, why are the Masons... why are they so interested in a DNA database? Why? You have to ask. I mean, it's a legitimate question. Well, Freemasons are all about helping mankind, they would say. I think there's more to it. I think that the kingdom of heaven is likened to a loaf that has had three measures of leaven, or leaven in three measures of meal. Is that how it says? I think there's something to that parable. I think there's a connection to that parable. And I have been talking, the more I study, the more I research, the more I learn, the more I say. Because I don't just learn something and go, oh, I can't say that. That would be dangerous. If I learn it, I'm going to say it. And I think that a lot of the symbols of Masonry, I think the ideology of what is behind them, we know that they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. I understand that. Where is... Boy, I can't even ask the question. There are some thoughts that are just like way, way up here. And I am looking for... I'm looking for the beast. I'll just say it. I'm looking for him. But I don't think I'm the only one. I don't think I'm the only one. Very interesting things going on here. All right. Now, a review of the new TV show called 666 Park Avenue. 666 Park Avenue. Very interesting. By the way, I'm going to bring you another subliminal suggestion here. Stare directly into the screen. There was my subliminal suggestion. I wonder if you got it or not. This is from, I don't know who this is from, Elise Wax. I'll admit it, I did not have high hopes for 666 Park Avenue with virtually no advertising until this past weekend's Emmy Awards. I guessed that it would be a soapy blend of Desperate Housewives and The Secret Circle, something kind of trashy, kind of frivolous, and largely forgettable. I am pleased to discover that I was wrong. Jane and Henry are young, idealistic couple who dream of moving to Manhattan from the Bronx. They answer an ad looking for an on-site manager at the Drake, one of the oldest and most exclusive residences in New York. Located at 999 Park Avenue. Jane uses her dazzling knowledge of architectural history, seeing as how she is an unemployed architect, to win over the Drake's owner, Gavin Durand. Jane and Henry have the job, of course. If something seems to be too good to be true, it probably is. Gavin is the devil, or working for the devil, to give residents everything they want, but only if they sign a contract with a very high cost. Jane and Henry sign an employment contract without reading it, despite Henry being an attorney. Jenry, as I have decided to call them, are fairly bland, generic characters. Luckily, the supporting cast is far more interesting, led by Terry O'Quinn, who plays Gavin with a suave exterior and evil interior that you would expect from the actor. Other residents of the Drake include Brian, a wannabe playwright, whose driven photographer wife, Louise, hires as her last-minute assistant the woman in the building across the way with whom her husband has been secretly flirting. John, who makes a deal with Gavin to murder in exchange for a suicided wife back, and a ghostly woman who may have been sacrificed in the Drake's basement nearly 100 years ago. There was a TV show, came on in the 70s. It ran for like, I don't know, half a season, and it bombed. Nobody watched it. It was called A Year at the Top. I remember this for some reason. A Year at the Top, if you are of the 40s age, if you are in your 40s or even 50s, you might remember this. I think it was a CBS program. But anyway, it was a comedy, one of these sitcoms, always looking for some spin on how they can tell stupid jokes. And the main actor was an up-and-coming musician. He wanted to make it big. He wasn't going anywhere. All of a sudden, the devil showed up, had him sign a contract that said, I'll give you 1 year, you'll be the top dog everywhere. But in exchange, I want your soul. You remember the song, the devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was winning behind. He was willing to make a deal. That song. It's all about this idea that in order to go to hell, you got to sign a contract. And I want you to let's do a little reverse psychology on this thing. It's actually the opposite. You're already going to hell. You're already going there. I mean, when you're born for hell is what you are. The Bible says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Remember what the Bible says. In order to go to heaven, you have to have a contract in order to go to heaven. See the reversal here. You have to have a contract to go to heaven. It's called the New Testament, New Covenant. That's what a covenant is. It's a contract. The New Covenant is Christ died for our sins. It is finished. By the way, I'm working on an idea that I think would be a good study. And I had visualized, this would be a good graphic to put on Facebook. I had visualized a cross, and underneath the words, "It is finished." And then over next to that, the unfinished Tower of Babel. And it says, like, "This is not." And you I hope I can make you understand this. I believe in the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. I believe that when he said, "It is finished," I believe it was. I believe it was finished. I do. I don't believe that anything that I do am going to add to what Christ has done. Now, the terms of the contract of the New Covenant is that I believe. Salvation is by faith. Salvation is by belief. My atonement, my justification is by faith in the Son of God. Faith in his word. Faith in what he said. Do you believe the Bible or not? That's, and to me, that's clear. I don't know why some people have such a huge, huge problem with this. But we're dealing with, I have a family that I'm not dealing with it with them, but I'm dealing with, there's a family here that is having a huge knockdown drag out in their family over justification by faith or justification by the works of the law. And they have people related to them that they hate me and they hate this church. Because we stand on justification by faith. Because we believed that Christ finished the work. It's done. It's over with. He did all the work. And you and I, we believe that. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would finish his work would have eternal life. It doesn't say that, does it? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is a belief in the finished work of Christ. You say, well, Pastor Mike, what about all these things that we're told to do in the New Testament? What about what it is that you're doing right now? Isn't that works? Yeah. Who's doing them? Oh, I can tell you. It looks like my face and my mouth. It's not me. It is Christ in me doing the works. It's still Christ. I yield my members to him. I yield my body, my mind, my mouth, my bad eyes, my sorry low-down back. I yield my members to Christ, and he performs the work. You know why? Because everybody that I've ever encountered in my life who has this idea that they're doing something for God, they boast about it. They brag about it. And it's all about removing boasting. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should. And I can tell you that the people that I have encountered in my life who are all about works are full of boasting. And and you know some of them. And here's what they do. They look down at you and say, well, your hair's not cut right. Your dress is not long enough. You're not wearing a tie. You don't knock doors. You don't do this. You don't do that. Obviously, you're not saved the way I'm saved. I believe in the finished work. And so here's the idea. The contract. You don't have to sign a contract to go to hell. You're already going. You do have to enter into a covenant with Jesus Christ, the mediator, to believe what God said, believe his word. These things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. You just, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It all boils down back to in the Bible. And so, but you have this idea. And 666 Park Avenue, trying to teach you this idea. Oh, nobody's going to hell except the people that come into this building. And they sign a contract and we'll do whatever they want us to do. But then we get their souls. It's just the opposite. People are already going to hell, but they don't want people. Here's what it is. You need to ponder this. Consider this. The agenda of the devil is to try to stop you and everybody else in the whole world from accepting the contract. Do you get it? They don't want you to accept God's terms. God's terms is, if you believe on Jesus, you can have eternal life. That's the terms of the new covenant. They don't want you to enter into that agreement. So they put this little sitcom in the 70s. So you're at the top. Oh, I signed a deal with the devil. Devil went down to Georgia. Okay? I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you. Boy said, my name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet because you're going to regret. I'm the best that's ever. Don't ask me why. I just remember the words of that. I used to have a buddy growing up that sang all the words of that song. Is there an agenda by TV networks to promote the occult, the religion of the beast? Here is the subliminal graphic that I've been flashing at you. Does anybody see three sixes here? You remember that one. Okay. It's very subtle. Of course, that's not a TV program. But they sponsor TV programs. It's very subtle, but I think it's real. God is the one who puts this thing together. I sit here and I'm going, what am I going to talk about today? And I start going through old emails and I'm going, oh, wow, look at that. Here is, for you British people, here's something coming on telly, coming soon to ITV2, Switch. And it's a play on words. It's a show about witches. Now, there's a TV show in America called Charmed. And it involves the, let me go back to me here. It involves three witches, and it involves that logo, the Triquetra. Let me just run through this very quickly. This is the symbol of the New Age movement. I call it New Age because it rhymes with sewage. And that is their symbol. What does this mean? We have a video called the Triple Helix. You can get that video from our ministry for your love gift of $19,480. No, you can get it for free. Or you can get it for free if you guess the mystery quotation today. And somebody already figured out where I was getting all these from. It's from the same book. And they said, we already had that book. Who said this? Now you see, God is injecting his word into the earth to produce this Jesus. These faith-filled words that frame the image that's in him. He can't just walk onto the earth and say, let it be, because he doesn't have the right. He's speaking, of course, of God. He had to sneak it in here around the god of this world that was blocking every way that he possibly could. Who said that? On page 142. The New Age movement is all about transformation, turning men into gods. Genesis chapter 3. This symbol here represents the unfinished work. It's just like on the back of the dollar bill. When you see the pyramid, you're seeing the bottom part of a triangle unfinished, but it needs something added to it. And so here is your DNA. This is the strands of DNA. They're linked together. If you watch the Watchman broadcast this week, I cover this. They're linked together by adenine, guanine, cytosine, and thymine, the four gospels, the four base pairs. And God said this book is perfect. It's absolutely right. It doesn't need any help. Doesn't need anything else added to it. It is finished. But the New Age says, here is a book on Freemasonry. I've been doing research all week. And we add this to this because they say it's unfinished. It's not accomplished. It's not done. It needs more work to it. Masonry is all about works. Oh, we got the work. We have to do our work. We have work to do. Work, work, work. And that's what it's all about. God says it's done. The devil says it's not done. Let's add something to it. So they take another strand of DNA and add it to what you already have. That is, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. That was charmed. Now, here is this other program called Switch coming to British telly. This coming soon. The symbol of the pentagram. Let me just cover that very quickly in case you are new and have not heard this. I've said it like a billion times, but I think it merits repeating. I think, and my premise is that every occult symbol in the whole universe, you can find out what it means by reading your King James Bible. And then, of course, some would say, see, that's because the Masons, they hid their secrets in the, they did that. It's a Masonic, no, it's not. Get over yourself. God is the revealer of secrets. That's what he said. He reveals the deep and the hidden things, the secret things. That's what he does. How does he do it? He does it through his word. Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret to his servants, the prophets. So God's going to reveal secrets to the word. How art thou fallen from heaven? Isaiah 14, verse 12. O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, number one, I will ascend. Think of the pentagram. Let me put that graphic up here, and you ponder it with amazement while I read the Word of God. Number one, a pentagram is a five-pointed star. So number one, I will ascend into heaven. Number two, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. See the stars there? This is a star. That's what Lucifer is. He's a star. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Number three, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. He's the North Star, by the way. Number five, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Or number four, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And number five, seven words here. I will be like the Most High. I will be like God. That's what that pentagram represents. Now, here's a, and all I did, somebody sent me the trailer for it. And so here is another way of illustrating the pentagram. This is a little screen capture of the four British witches who represent... Ooh, you know what? I see something here brand new. How many witches do we see here? How many witches does it take to conjure the Antichrist? How many does it take? Well, it takes four. And let me explain this to you, all right? You see here four women joined together. And I want you to notice their clothing, okay? And just here's what they represent. They represent the four elements. You have, let's say that the, let's see, who can represent earth? One of these is going to, the girl in red, it represents fire to me. I think I get that. And I think the girl in white at the bottom represents, let's see, what is it? Earth, air. I think that's air and fire. The girl in blue would represent water. And the dark girl would represent earth. So you have earth, air, the white in the white shirt, fire in the red shirt, and water in the blue shirt. That's what you have. And witches would look at that and go, hey, that's you're pretty clever. So it's the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water. And what are they doing? If you watch this, this trailer, you can find it on YouTube or whatever, you'll see that when they get together and do all these conjurations, that something rises up out of the center of the four. That's called ether. You're making a pentagram. Manly Hall talked about it. He said the pentagram is basically the four joined together, and there's one coming out of it. And I want you to think this with me, because I think it has to do with the Masons, why they're looking at everybody's DNA. Because to me, the four would be the base pairs, adenine, guanine, cytosine, and thiamine. They're opposites joined together is what they are. That's what earth and air are, and fire and water. They're opposites, and they're joining them together. And out of the fusion of all of this rises up the fifth element. There was, a Bruce Willis movie called The Fifth Element. It basically was teaching this principle. The fifth element is this spirit that rises up and takes over. And this is the magic of witchcraft, which is, you know what? Somebody, I don't know if I can find this. Somebody sent me, I'm going to try to find this because I think it's relevant. Somebody sent me an email, and they were telling me about what they were seeing going on in the church that they went to, they used to go to. And they told me this. They said, and I'm trying to remember this right. That's why I was trying to find the email. If you sent this to me, send it to me again, and I'll use it. But they said that as like the pastor's wife or something like that was praying, and she was like leading in prayer. She would pray to the east and then to the west and then to the north and then to the south. She was praying in all those cardinal directions, and I'm going, she's practicing witchcraft. Doesn't anybody know this? It's going on in the church. I mean, blatant, obvious witchcraft. Let's face the four directions now. Let's pray to the four. That's witchcraft. My goodness. But it's all about teaching this idea. And then we have a new show coming up on the CW called Beauty and the Beast. Now, everybody do some math for me, all right? And I'm going to pull up my Windows 7 calculator, and we're going to do some adding, because a lot of times, and you could think I'm crazy, I'm just going to tell you the facts, okay? The facts are that this program airs on Thursday, October the 11th of this year. That is 10, 11, 12. Add up 10 plus 11 plus 12. Add that up while I talk. That's 33, by the way, in case you didn't do the math. Beauty and the Beast. What is this about? When I started reading the Da Vinci Code, the Da Vinci Code was talking about the fusion of opposites. And I started chasing opposites through the Bible. And I'm going, wait a minute, they're supposed to be separate. They're supposed to be together. And then you have this idea of a woman is to not lie down in front of a beast. Well, you never have to tell me twice not to do that. But it's in there like three times in the Bible. Four times, I think. And so you're not supposed to do that. But here's the beauty. This, you know, the Beauty and the Beast story goes way back. Well, something I discovered. in the Da Vinci Code was that in the list of the Grand Masters of the Priory of Zion, the last Grand Master listed on this list, and they say, well, you know, that's all made up, blah, 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 was a guy by the name of Jean Cocteau. Pardon my French. Jean Cocteau was an artist. He was a weirdo. He was an esotericist. And he was a film producer. I remember, believe it or not, back when I was in my early high school age, watching on public television Jean Cocteau's version of The Beauty and the Beast. And it was in French with English subtitles. And I'm going, you know, this is a pretty good movie. It was made like, it was in black and white, made in like the 30s or 40s or something like that. And but he had done a rendition of Beauty and the Beast. And the idea was that he was implanting his ideas of the sacred feminine and how she, and in the Beauty and the Beast, it's the beauty who rescues the beast, okay, saves the beast. You take that idea to things that we've learned, like the Watchmen video we did called The Missing Piece, where you find out that Isis is the one who's trying to rebuild her husband all back together again, put him all back together again so we can live. And this idea that Mystery Babylon is gathering everybody together so that the beast can live. He can rise up out of the sea. And so here you have the story that Jean Cocteau told. And then I'm looking at Disney's version of it, and I notice that the predominant symbol in the Disney animated feature Beauty and the Beast was the symbol of the rose. Well, the rose is a symbol for a secret meaning. Sub rosa means that it's under the roses. There's a hidden, occulted meaning to this. And so here they come out. It's going to be a retelling of the Beauty and the Beast coming out on day 33, October 11th, 2012. 10, 11, 12. When you add them together, it comes up with 33. Is that a mistake? Is it? I don't know. I'm just telling you the facts. But here's something. You go watch the trailer to this thing. And I'm watching this, and I'm listening for what's going on. And here's this guy, and he is like he's like a hero. Oh, get this. You watch the trailer. You find out that the guy is supposed to be dead. And yet here he is alive again. And he's going around. He is, listen to this now. You'll pick this up. You go watch it. You pick it up. He's the savior. He saves all these people. I'm telling you, he's like a fake, phony Jesus is what he is. So here he is. He's dead. And now he's back to life again. He's a savior. And oh, by the way, he was in the military. And the military injected stuff in him that altered his DNA. Where did that concept come from? And that's what it's about. They're just retelling this. And to me, there is an agenda to promote occult themes and these ideas and these mysteries. They have to educate the people into the mystery religion. Because so far, people, at least in America and a lot of English-speaking countries, all we've been educated in is Christianity. Fooey on that. They're indoctrinating everybody with occult mysteries, with mystery religions, mystery concept, beauty. You get the beauty. If you want to see the movie Beauty and the Beast or the TV show, go read Revelation 17. You'll get all of it there that you need. You'll understand the beauty and the beast. You'll understand that whole concept. They're indoctrinated. It's not just the cartoons for the kiddies that they're promoting this stuff in. This is the Generation X or Generation Y or whatever we call it now. Let's get to some emails after I swig some tea here. Actually, I want to do more than drink tea. I want to eat some more of these Tim Tams, but I'll wait. This came in early today. Richard wrote me in and made a correction. He's correcting me. I appreciate it, too. Pastor Mike, in your Pastor Mike online broadcast on Thursday, you read an article from the Baptist Standard saying that it was the Southern Baptist website. The Baptist Standard is the newspaper and website of Texas Baptists, a group which is not affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention, but instead belongs to the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, a group that denies that God's word is inerrant, among other detestable and non-biblical things. Just thought you'd like, and he says some other things here, just thought you'd like to know. He said the Texas and Virginia Baptists drank the Kool-Aid long ago. I like that one. That's pretty good. And the SBC has started other boards in those states to completely separate themselves from the wackos. And God bless you and your ministry, Rich. Rich, I appreciate that. I appreciate you correcting me that way. Good information, and I stand corrected. Love you. Tim says, Pastor Mike, I'm having a scriptural problem. Well, then you need a scriptural psychologist. No. I'm having a scriptural problem understanding some passages in the Old Testament and New Testament. Can you set me straight? We'll see. Jesus in John 10, 31 through 39 mentions in verse 34, God's little g. And references Psalm 82, where little g God is referenced in verse 1 and verse 6. I'm having trouble making sense of this, and I can't answer the Gnostic position because I don't understand. Tim, and I'll visit this just for a second. But Tim, I actually did a Pastor Mike online study of the gods, little g gods. And I dealt with this. What I'm saying to you is there's more detail in that particular broadcast than I'm going to give you here. You said Psalm 82. Psalm 82, verse 6, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High, but ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. And Jesus actually said, have you not read in your scripture that ye are gods? Because they were questioning Jesus, you know, what, you made yourself equal with God. Well, the Bible, the King James Bible says, Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And so the idea is, what does this mean? What, you know, was this blasphemy in the Bible? What is it? Ye are gods. Tim, when we die, when this flesh, body of flesh, corrupts in the ground, a new body is going to come up out of it. Not like this one. The 1 Corinthians 15 tells us plainly. We will have a celestial body. As of that point, and we add things said also by Jesus as well when he said, you shall be as angels in the resurrection. And so the angelic realm, those of all angels, both good and bad, according to the scriptures, they're all categorized as little g gods. When we die and are resurrected in a new body, we will be, actually we'll be above angels because we're going to be judging angels. But we will be of the angelic realm in a spiritual body, hence we will be little g gods. That, and I had a lady climb all over me on this. She said, I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you said we're going to be gods. What are you crazy? And I just sent scripture to her. And she said, I can't believe you're crazy. That's just what the Bible says. We are going to be in a spiritual body that is far more powerful, far more infinitely wise, far more whatever than this flesh body is right now. That's a god, little g, and there are good ones and bad ones. There are good angels and there are evil angels. We'll be the good guys. Hope that helps. Let's see here. Vern sent this to my iPad. He said, I saw this and almost fell off my office chair. Anyway, he said, Pastor Mike, have you ever seen this church site? This is from Edge Point Church. I didn't even bring the website up, Vern. That's how behind the times I am. Edge Point Church. And he says on their website, this is what we believe statement. They should have just stuck with the King James Bible. United Methodists share a common heritage with all Christians. According to our foundational statement of beliefs in the Book of Discipline, we share the following basic affirmations in common with all Christian communities, the Trinity. We describe God in three persons. Father and Son and Holy Spirit are commonly used to refer to the threefold nature of God. Sometimes we use other terms, such as Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. And this is an excerpt from What Every Teacher Needs to Know About Theology. I'm telling you, once you leave that Bible, the Word of God, the end result is not good. I'm not sure, Vern, I'm not following you. And maybe I didn't put enough time into this to read it right or look at it right. So help me out here, all right, if you are listening. Let's go to the next one. Oh, I'm glad I had this pulled up. Today, there is a young man listening to us from Nederland. His name is Paul van Batum, and he is 147 years old today. No, he's not. I don't know how old he is. And my Skype app is not working on my iPad, so I can't get in contact with Ricky. That's her brother. Ricky's been following our ministry since before any of you guys. And she has been very, very, she's been a good friend. We've never met, she's been a good friend. She's the first person who ever sent me chocolate in the mail. And she all the time said, pray for my brother, pray for, well, we prayed for a brother. Her brother, I mean, he gets it now, and I hope he's watching. And by the way, Paul, I got your package the other day. Thank you for that. Anyway, it was Paul's birthday Sunday, and we missed it. We didn't say it. So happy birthday to Paulo. Happy birthday to you. Anyway, moving right along. Linda says, may God continue to bless your ministry. It has been a real blessing to me. Thank you. She said, I was reading 2 Samuel, and I noticed that it mentioned the fifth rib four times. Would you know why it was important that we know it was the fifth rib? I have a little theory on that, on the fifth rib. I think that the fifth rib is what Eve was made out of. Can't prove it. But I also think that it was under the fifth rib that Jesus, the spear, drove into. I think that those scriptures that you're seeing where someone was smote under the fifth rib, I think that they are a reference to the cross, is what I think. But I can't prove that, but that's kind of the thought I had. All right. This is from somebody named Dave. Dave says, the most conclusive objections I've heard people bring up as to why they don't believe angels are the sons of God is because they say in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4, teaches that God never said unto the angels at any time that they are his sons. That is not true. That is incorrect. And here is one of the 4 billion instances where we should not just think of what the Bible says. We should actually go back and read the words of the King James Bible. Because it doesn't say in Hebrews 1 that God never said to the angels, you're my sons. That's not what he said. Here's a direct quote from God, who does not sound like Charlton Heston or Alexander Scurvy or Mike Hoggard. And so it says in verse 4, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? And you go, see, he's not done. This day have I begotten thee. Oh, I get it. Jesus is the only begotten son, unless you read the NIV, which they say it's his one and only son. The King James Bible has the doctrine right. It's because the doctrine came from God. Jesus is the only begotten son of God. All of the others, like the angels and you and I, who are manifest, who will be manifest as sons of God, we're created. Jesus was not. He was the begotten of the Father. Now, don't ask me what that means. Don't ask. I said don't ask, because I don't know. And here's the thing. When you don't understand something from the Bible, you're not supposed to go change it so you do understand it. That's not what you're supposed to do. But Dave, I hope that answers your question. The angels were sons of God. So are we. Jenny writes in, I love the Lord. I'm hungry for his word. So why can't I stay awake when reading it? It is the hardest thing I do all day, trying to get through my daily reading without drifting off. What does this mean? A spiritual attack? Jenny, let me tell you my history. In fact, my son, Caleb, asked me last night. I was working with my continuous positive air pressure machine, what they call a CPAP. Now, I have a feeling that before it was called a continuous positive air pressure, that it was supposed to be a continuous respiratory air pressure machine, but they couldn't call it that, so they just called it a CPAP. I wear a CPAP every night. I do it to stay alive. My wife caught me sleeping at a stoplight one time, taking the kids to the zoo, and she said, "You're getting a sleep study done, buddy." And I went and had a sleep study done and found out that, I mean, as soon as I go to sleep, as soon as I go to sleep, I stop breathing. And that'll last for a minute. And I will stop breathing for a whole minute. And then my body will react violently by going like that. And I'll breathe for 30 seconds and then quit breathing again. And I do this, and it finally got to where I could not stay awake. I couldn't drive from my house to the church without having to fight off going to sleep. I could not read. I couldn't do anything. I'd try to read the Bible and go. I'd go to sleep. Jenny, go talk to your doctor, okay? Maybe there's something like that going on. I don't know. I don't know you. My mom wears a CPAP, but it runs in my family. I've got an uncle on my mom's side. We're all wearers of CPAPs, all right, because we can't breathe at night. And what happens is that your body, you think that you've slept all night, and your body did not sleep all night. It constantly was fighting and gasping for breath. And my wife would see that. So anyway, hope that helps you. Ashley from Michigan. Pastor Mike, I've been watching your Watch My Video series for 2 years. I recently started watching your online broadcasts and sermons. I love how the Lord is using you. Thank you for your ministry. I'm writing to ask you if you've ever heard of the Message Bible. Oh, yeah. Have you heard of the version of the Lord's Prayer? Listen to this. This is the Message Bible, the Message Bible, the Lord's Prayer. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply like this. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best. As above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Oh, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Because everybody in the world knows that hamburgers are not square. What a dipstick. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're ablaze in beauty. When you pray to the God that's on fire, I don't know. Appreciate that. Pam, thank you for sharing the word and not traditions of men. Saved Pentecostal for over 30 years, but I am learning more truth now than ever before. Thank you. Paul Van Batum says, and I skipped to the top, and I'm going to go back down. I always listen to this program in my own hidden secret bunker in Holland. Bye-bye, and thanks for a beautiful birthday sing. I want to invite you in my studio one day. Hey, you know what? We just might do that one day, all right? Kobe. Hi, Pastor Mike. I've been watching your show. Oh, I already read that one, didn't I? No. I really love your ministry. Have you ever heard of Renee Garner? She calls herself a co-pastor. Well, that's your first problem right there, Sherlock Holmes. Right away, I'm thinking another spirit, and some of my friends and family are going to see her speak. try to stop them. And just show them the scriptures. Show them the scriptures that a bishop is to be a guy with a wife, not some woman. Show them the scripture. Then, you know, here, right here in the Bible, it says this. Now, if she says that God's telling her to say this, he's not, because he already said here that he wasn't going to do that. Try to stop him. See what happens. Gabe, when picking a church, you talk about mega churches being bad. I agree with everything you have said, but as I attend my church, they have a music band, lights, etc., but I haven't heard anything bad with what he has said. He believes in the blood of Christ and the KJV. How can one make sure the church they are going to is a good church? It is hard when it appears they are all going bad. I love going to church and hearing the word of God. Do I just stay home and read the Bible or continue to go to the church? Now, here's what I'm going to say, Gabe, and you bring up a good question. The King James churches are so hard to find nowadays. If you've got one, hang on to it. But here's what I'm going to tell you to do. Okay? What I'm going to tell you to do is this. You call upon the name of the Lord and say, God, I want to be in obedience to your word. I want to do what you said. I honor the word. I love that. I won't listen to anything else for the King James Bible. God, because I can't tell you, Gabe, or anybody else in the world where to go to church, but I can tell you that God is the one who can. So what I will tell you is that you call upon the Lord and say, God, you either keep me here or you move me somewhere else, but it's going to be your call. And here's what will happen. I guarantee you, if God wants you out of there, he'll put you out of there, because that's God. He can do that. You might even hear something one of these days from the pulpit and you're going, that's not in the Bible. And God will begin to deal with you, all right? Jerry and Joyce, what do you think about cremation? I like a little cremation in my coffee. Oh, no, that's carnation. Carnation. All right, cream. All right, cremation. We're doing estate planning and make our funeral arrangements. Our church only has an interim pastor, and he feels there's nothing definitive in the Bible regarding this. We would like your advice. Okay, everybody remember, on October the 2nd at 2:21 p.m., 2012, Mike Hoggard said this about cremation. There is no scriptural prohibition of cremation. None. There isn't any. Some would say that since cremation turns the body into ashes, then there's nothing left for God to resurrect, according to 1 Corinthians 15. Well, let me share with you what Abraham said. Genesis 18:27. And Abraham answered and said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. It's the same thing. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not charity, I become a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I can remove mountains, and have not charity, I'm nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. My point is this. There is, and I want you to understand the nature of the finished work of Christ. You have to ask yourself the question, and it's not my preferred way of doing it. But does someone being cremated prevent God from resurrecting them? No. No, 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 and no, and no. There is, what can separate us from the love of Christ? What can? Nothing. Nothing separates us. Nothing. And you say, well, you're turning the body into ashes. God can't do anything with that. Didn't he? What did he create the universe out of? What did he make the whole world out of? What did he make you out of? Dirt. What did he make the dirt out of? Nothing. That's my point. Is that it's intended that this body, Abraham said it, dust and ashes, same thing. And I'm not trying to, if this is your conscience, I don't want to defile your conscience. I don't want to do that. In fact, I'm going to back down a little bit. But to tell people that they're going to go to hell because their body was cremated is unscriptural. It's not right. And I have not seen a scriptural prohibition. There's nothing in the law. There's nothing in the New Testament. Doesn't exist. Of the flesh body, once it's been cremated, that's an abomination to God. It's not there. What would we say about Christians who have been, the Christians who were eaten by lions in the Roman Colosseum? Christians have been eaten by sharks. I mean, I know these are way out there, but what I'm saying to you is there's nothing in the Bible that states that the body has to be intact for God to, it's just not there. God intended the body to turn back into nothing. Dust and ashes. So anyway, that's, you asked the question, and so I'm sure I'm going to get an email on this one. Michelle, the deer and the hunter picture is funny. Thank you. Hey, and Michelle, I prayed for you today. Michelle is going through a tough time right now. It's just one of those things where if you ever had a situation in life where it was one thing after another and it never stopped. And that's what's going on with Terry and Michelle. And if you think of them, please pray for them. Brian, Mike, very interesting about the pineal gland that is actually what causes bucks to start rutting. Hey, really? That's interesting. Mark says, you have been sending the Watchmen DVDs as I requested for my mother. Unfortunately, my father passed away in July. I am very sorry to hear that. That's tough. He was a Christian. Praise the Lord. I'm moving into my parents' house to help with my mother and awaiting heart surgery. Anyway, I'm going to forward this to Alicia Bug. And she will, because we're working on Watchmen packets right now. She'll take care of that. Paul says, Pastor Mike, Manly Hall writes about a secret room in the house of the hidden places. Is this the same as the secret chambers Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24? You know what? It could very well be, Paul. I mean, I think there's something to that, all right? Brian wants me to explain Exodus 32:20. So I'm going to open my King James Bible, Exodus 32, the 20th verse, and he wants me to explain it to him. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in. Oh, I like this. You're gonna like this one. He took the calf, which they made, and burned it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and strawed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. You ready for this one? We know the mark of the beast is 666. The only other place in the whole Bible where that number shows up. Well, second other, only other place. There's like three places. Was the amount of gold that Solomon took in, like as a tax, or I can't remember the verse. Anyway, it was 666 talents of gold in a year. Okay, and I'm going, boy, there's a connection there. And then here they are. Now, I want you to understand this. This was their God. This was their God. And Moses, as a punishment and a judgment to them, made the Israelites eat their God. Now, the doctrine of transubstantiation is this. You eat the God to become the God. That's what Roman Catholicism is all about. It's about eating the God so you can become the God. There is not a single mystery religion in the world that does not have something that you ingest, drink, eat, that gives you the attributes of a deity. It's in every mystery religious teaching. And I think this is a prefiguring of it. Moses, as a punishment, made them eat or drink their God. And I think that that is a prophecy. I think one of these days, Brian, you and I are going to see something. We're going to go, this is that which was spoken in the book of Exodus. All right, so be watching for it. A couple minutes left here. Christoph. Did you know they left the ER off your name? I'm just saying. I'm not making fun of you. Before I realized the forces behind specific music, especially the so-called Christian rock, I actually was a great fan of the Swedish Christian rock band Blindside. I'm a kind of shocked since I know now the meaning behind the symbols of their latest album. You can have a look here at some important logo of the album artwork. They probably tell you it's all about the album's title. Let me look at this and see what it is. Let's see here. I think I see something here. I see four cardinal directions. That's what I see. Now, I hope I'm picking up on this. Anyway, very interesting. Joanne, bad echo, Pastor Mike. Pastor Mike, this is from B. I thought you might like to see this. Perhaps you already have. God bless you and keep you dear, Pastor the Mighty. And there's a picture here, and Outlook is not. Oh, I did see that. There's some kind of new show coming on, Discovery Science or something like that. And boy, you ought to see what I see here. It's like a palm print with six fingers on it, and I'm going. And you only see it for like a second, and I'm going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's six fingers on this thing. I did see that. I don't know what show that is. They Are Here or something like that. So anyway, keep watching for that. Bronson, I was just curious if you know of any parallel between Genesis 3:3, where Eve adds to God's word by adding, "Neither shall you touch it, lest ye die," and God's command to Moses in Exodus 19:12, not to let anyone touch Mount Sinai, or they would be put to... You know, I never saw that parallel. And I'll think about that one. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're an idiot, Bronson. Because I wouldn't want you to say that about me. But I have never thought that way. Neither shall you touch it lest you die. Remember, the woman is the church. And it's the church right now that's adding all this stuff to the Bible. Churches add to the Bible. She was taking, here's what God said, here's what the church said alongside of it, and she made that equal with God's word. That's what I get out of that. Thomas. Pastor, I'm edified by your preaching, but some of your music choices used to open your online program, for example, has too much rhythm. Melody and harmony, with the least being rhythm, is the proper biblical order. Here's what I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to ask you this in all respect, Thomas, because you have mentioned this respectfully. I don't even know how to ask it. If I heard bad music, I would know it, okay? If I heard bad music, I would know that that's bad music. It's kind of like clothing. I can't actually describe what immodest is, but if I saw a woman wearing immodest clothing, I would go, that's it right there. The same with music. Everybody has a style and a taste. What I have learned over the years. Now, you mentioned that melody, harmony, the least being rhythm, is in the proper biblical order. I would like to know where that is in the Bible, because I can tell you that the Bible does mention singing to yourself, psalms, singing and making melody in your heart. And I do know that rhythm is allowed. The timbrel was it's a tambourine. It's a percussive instrument is what it is. There is nothing unbiblical with rhythm. There's nothing unbiblical with melody and harmony. Music does have color, and I think the color of music, and when I say color, there's light songs and then there's dark song. Marilyn Manson is, you would never say, oh, I'm listening to this light little piece by Marilyn Manson. It's very joyful. It lifts me up. You don't say that. And so I'm not criticizing you, Thomas. what I'm saying, what I'm asking the question is, and I've heard this too, if it moves foot before it moves the heart, it's wrong. That's not in the Bible. It doesn't say that. Well, if it edifies the flesh, all music is edifying somehow, some way to the flesh. Eating Tim Tams is edifying to the flesh. That doesn't make it wrong. Unless, of course, I didn't eat it right. Now, eating Vegemite is wrong, I can tell you that. But here's my point. I have a preferred style of music. I like Southern gospel music, although a lot of Southern gospel music is turning into... It's a lot of boogie-woogie is what it is. It's basically Southern gospel music is turning into what amounted to the roots of rock and roll. And I don't go along with that. Did I miss my music already? Well, anyway, let me shut that off. Shut off. All right, here we go. I have my earpiece in. I didn't even hear Mr. Rogers. So anyway, let me finish this up and I'll be gone with you. Although somebody has an interesting thing about Ross. Oh, I heard Ross Perot pulled out because his family was threatened. Could very well be. Anyway, back to Thomas. Thomas, here's my point. I went to Africa, okay? And they sing a little bit differently than we do over here. Now, they sing, they love hymns. They love spiritual songs, kind of like we do. There is a lot of Western, you know, British, American influence in that. There's no doubt in my mind about it. I can't say that everything musically is wrong other than what you would say it is. I can't say that biblically. There are no musical notes in the Bible. But I understand where you're coming from. Anyway. Good to be with you today. Got a lot more emails that I couldn't get to. I appreciate your patience and forbearance. And if you have something real important to write to me, write it again on Thursday, which is 2 days before Saturn's day. This is Pastor Mike, and I am out of here. God bless you. We'll see you. Bye.